people have also just been worn so thin. So right. there's been a lot of, I think, desperation behind it as well. Right. And a lot of people who've just been so fed up with the pandemic, with society, with you know, being stuck at home,
right,
with no understanding of when this is going to end. People wanted, they wanted like an ending and a beginning. That's what they wanted. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's it. And there was no closure.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think especially with this, our episode today, what we're trying to do is offer maybe some methods in order to deal with this anxiety, because like you said, it could be a while till what individuals think as closure really comes.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Not good night.
I get carried away.
Way to start and finish it so quickly.
So, today, before we jump in, we just wanted to give a quick thank you to everybody for coming to us once again, or for the first time discovering us, downloading our podcast, subscribing to our podcast, and sharing it with your friends and family. It is actually one of those things that we ask in some of our episodes, that you go ahead and give the podcast a rating in especially the Apple podcast store. Is it podcast store?
iTunes, I believe. Is it still iTunes or Apple Podcasts?
Apple Podcasts,
that's it.
So to give us a rating in the Apple Podcast, because that rating is what helps us become visible to people looking for good podcasts to listen to. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate it when someone puts a review down there. You can absolutely leave us some feedback, share ideas for upcoming episodes that you would love to hear us dive into, or just if you have any random questions for us. But we love it when people give us those ratings, because that is what helps. So
that's right.
Obviously a 5-star is preferable, but yes. we do understand that not everybody it may feel like 5 stars is right. a thing. We strive for 5, but
that's right.
And you can be honest.
Uh-huh. We do appreciate the honesty. I do want to mention, as Shannon was talking about, we got a brand new review in the Apple Podcast app, and I want to get a shout out to T. Keg. T. Keg left
an awesome name.
Left a review. Relevant and applicable information. Sorry.
Applicable. He spelt it right.
Yes, I said
Nick
it wrong.
Nick just can't talk. Mm-hmm.
Relevant and applicable information. He said, or they said, I should say, this podcast is very informative and the information provided is relative for anyone who's been into fitness and nutrition for 1 year or for 20 years. Their perspectives are great, and I learn something new every podcast, and I listen to that. I can apply to my daily life.
Well, thank you, whomever you are.
T-Keg.
T-Keg. Right. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know. Something about that name. It's got good juju.
But yes, thank you, T-Keg. And you guys can leave that leave that review or rating on the Apple Podcast app, like Shannon said, or even Spotify or Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page.
Yes, we just like feedback. We like to hear from you guys. We like to hear what's resonating and what you're interested in.
That's right.
So, as you can hear, we are a little bit jumbled up. It's not because we can't form sentences. Usually, I'd say we're fairly articulate. However, it has been a flippin' week. And as the title of this episode may allude, we're talking about not just the week that we've been through, which has been intense, but also the week that the world mm-hmm. has had. So before we jump into our topic, which kind of deals with the reasoning behind that, We want to jump into our training recaps.
Yeah.
You can go first this time.
Oh, you're gonna let me go first?
Yes.
All right. So this week I did pretty well. You know, like I think I hit my 4-workout mark. I know we were talking about, and we'll probably touch on the holiday and moon boosting challenge soon, but I hit 4 workouts this week, and I was very happy with that. Pretty sure it was 2 Pelotons, and then sandbag and kettlebell workout. So I got that in this week, felt good all about that. So it was a job well done for the activity this week. I felt pretty strong. Like I said, I got my stretching session done with Dina, my active stretching and massage gun expert. So that was, I could feel it in.
Does she actually use a massage gun?
Oh, yes.
I've been seeing those things freaking everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, I would say, popular nowadays.
Yeah.
So that's something we might need to do an unboxing, because I've been looking a couple and seeing possibly getting one for us.
Well, maybe you should wait for the holidays, sir.
Okay, maybe I'll wait for the holidays, ma'am.
Don't you dare buy anything for yourself right now.
All right.
How dare you buy anything for yourself close to Christmas?
I was throwing it out
there. Less than 6 months, for heaven's sakes.
Less than 6 months? Way less than that. Less than six, about I know, 6 weeks.
I mean by the fact that I start holiday shopping at about true. 6 months. Touché. So it's dangerous to buy things.
You did decorate the house with Christmas decorations today.
They're not Christmas decorations. They're holiday transitional true. Decorations. Okay. There's no Christmas tree.
That's true. My apologies once again. Once again, I've faux pas. My adductors, I feel inside, what some people might refer to as the groin muscles in there, super tight.
What have you been doing?
I think it would be lateral deadlifts. Is probably where that really got me the most.
Interesting.
Those and some Bulgarian squats seem to hit that area for me. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Bulgarian squat. Essentially, it's a one-legged squat.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, you have your foot, one foot on, say, a chair behind you, and the other foot is out front, and you're bending that knee and dropping the foot that's elevated towards the ground. Great, great exercise, especially if you're trying to build quad and butt. So it's definitely a beneficial exercise if you're looking to do that. That area is super tight. And then, got the Peloton in. I'm not going to steal your thunder about the Peloton. But I think I might have did a little bit, missed out on one part of our moon boosting. A moon? I keep saying a moon.
Moon boosting?
Moon boosting.
Are you doing like a celestial one?
Immunity boosting holiday challenge. And that was, I had a few drinks this week, but nothing too crazy. But I know you actually probably were the leader in the clubhouse. As far as that's concerned, right?
In terms of our immunity boosting challenge, yes. And just a quick recap of what the immunity boosting challenge is. This is meant to position you for the best support for your immune system. So knowing that, obviously, there are supplements you can take. So we are encouraging a few different things here. We're encouraging you to go ahead and cut back on the things that are going to compromise your immune system, cause inflammation in your body, specifically sugar and alcohol. We said to cut back. So we're not crazy evil people. We're not unrealistic. Mm-hmm. We know that Halloween was a week ago and that you probably have a crap ton of candy shoved in the cracks of your walls at this point. There's so much. We know that. And we definitely see that it's not realistic to completely shut it off. But for your immune system, give yourself the best chance. Don't overindulge on the regular just because the holidays are coming. Save your indulgences and really try to cut back on those two things. Also, we said to supplement. Mm-hmm. So add in those really important supplements. We encouraged zinc. We encouraged vitamin D, mm-hmm. calcium.
Vitamin C.
All those great things that are just going to give you a little bit of an extra boost and give your system the fighting juice that it needs. Plus, take care of yourself physically. And this one's important. This one's going to come back to our discussion topic today. But to actually move your body and get it in, as we're saying consistently, meaning at least 5 times a week. Doesn't mean you have to be doing 45-minute workouts 5 days a week. As long as you can say maybe like 5-10 minutes of a concentrated, purposeful movement. Maybe it's just walking briskly around your neighborhood. Whatever it is, something to move your body, and you know, maybe build up a little bit of a perspiration. Something like that. Yeah, just get your heart rate up. Mm-hmm. So that was our challenge. That's what we're challenging ourselves first and foremost. We are in this together, mm-hmm. but also to all of our listeners out there who are just feeling like you want to do something for your body this time of year. You don't want to risk going overboard. Be purposeful. Be mindful. I did pretty good with this week. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I'm really glad because I also feel like it might have been a lifeline for me.
Yeah.
I think in a big way, but in just quick recap, I did really good on cutting back on my sugar intake. I think the one area that I probably did have sugar, besides on the weekend, I did indulge in some little bits, was my holiday drinks. Mm-hmm. I did get like the one pump of holiday flavoring a couple days this week, but otherwise I did not have any candy for most of the week. I did not have actually any desserts for most of the week, and I felt freaking great. That was huge. I didn't have any alcohol. No, no I adult brought beverages. Yes, I said no to the adult bevvies. Uh-huh. And I said yes to the non-alcoholic drink that we reviewed a while ago that's been sitting on our shelf. So I had stocked up on it at one point. And it's just one of those botanical blends, non-alcoholic like cocktails that I think it's, what is it supposed to be like?
Bourbon.
Bourbon, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very good. I still like it. I tried it. I still like it. Mm. But I did really good on that. And then I did 5 days. I hit my 5 days this week. I did really? A yoga, 2 Pelotons. And I have to say, the Peloton rides are fantastic. The Halloween rides for Peloton, if you uh-huh. haven't taken some of those, they're freaking great. I took the Matt Walpers where he dressed like Olivia Amato. And she's...
Another instructor?
Yes.
Okay.
A girl. Uh-huh. And he wore the sports bra, the tight pants, the wig, and the body glitter. Yes, Matt Welpers wore body glitter, and it was a beautiful thing because he also referred to himself as her the whole time pretty much and kept character for, I'd say, a good 70%.
Yeah, sell it.
So it is, it was magical. I do love his power rides anyways, though. His power zone rides are fantastic. So I did that, and then I did the Jess King experience, which was a welcome back. She hasn't done that in a really long time. It was a big deal. It was awesome. So I did 2 of those, yoga, and then 2 HIIT workouts, which everything was good. And
impressive.
I think we'll use that opportunity to roll into why this might have been a lifeline for me this week.
Right. So, I mean... The one issue I think everybody was dealing with this week.
Yeah, obviously. The overarching situation. Mm-hmm. We are based in the United States.
Yes.
So I think for the rest of the world, it was more of a like, oh, that sucks for you. Sitting kind off. Of like just sitting and watching like the occasionally.
Rest of the world from Wisconsin, apparently, or Minnesota. that accent?
I don't know.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, sorry.
But yeah, it was election time. And it's been, we're not going to get into parties. We're not going to get into politics. We're going to get into the freaking stress that the election has caused for people. Because regardless of who you're rooting for, regardless of how you voted, this has been a brutal week. Because it's been like the freaking suspense cliffhanger at the end of a show season or a series that all you want to do is find out what the heck happened to all of the characters. But you can't. Only it's your life that's hanging in the balance, and you just have to wait. You're just waiting. And not just waiting, but you're also listening to people like go at each other's throats. I mean, it's exhausting hearing. It was exhausting hearing just the ads and seeing the campaign ads. I couldn't watch Hulu for the entire week ahead of the election because it was literally just all campaign ads. And they're all so negative.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was so negative. And now you have people saying, like, you know, they want to stop counting votes or go counting votes. And it's just this give and take and constant push and pull. And it's exhausting. Right. And we did not have any closure on Election Day. It was just the start of a new phase of crap. While basically it was like another final stretch. I think we all thought the final stretch or hoped the final stretch would come faster.
Right.
And it didn't. It was prolonged. So I don't actually think that we're really there. I think we do still have a ways to go. But this week, you could see it in almost everybody's face. Yeah. You could hear it in everybody's voice. I've definitely felt it.
Yeah, I think the
it's like just hitting a wall.
Yeah, we hit the high mark for stress, I think, involved with the election this week.
Yeah, on top of record-breaking numbers of cases being reported in COVID around the United States.
Right.
Countries going back into lockdown. I mean, it was just such a tense atmosphere. It's almost like you can see it in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on top of it, we had, you know, personal issue.
Well, yeah. Then we added. We added because
we didn't think that was enough.
That wasn't enough.
Right.
We had a pet go into the hospital for 2 days.
Which we knew was coming, though.
Which we knew was coming, but is very stressful. I mean, it's a family member going into the hospital for a serious treatment, coming out with a, you know, prolonged period of time of, like, everybody has to accommodate them and their very unique needs.
Yep.
We have a radioactive cat, folks. Yep. A radioactive cat in our house. Radiation is a very real thing in our household right now. So then on top of that, there was a family crisis, a very significant crisis that we are still in the midst of.
Right.
But the very first day it shook us because it came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is for a member of our family, close member of our family, who is younger, who you don't expect, you know, you don't expect these serious life-threatening things to happen to. And it was not COVID-related, to our knowledge so far. They had tests. It was not COVID-related, but that really scary things can happen even outside COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been in that
bubble. Yeah, so we've had stress coming in at us from a variety of directions this week. I think the non-election stress kind of gave us a little perspective.
It did. It was a very, very sharp perspective.
On the election stress. But
was a silver lining in a way.
Right. We know that people are truly affected by the election. And the stress. It's actually funny. I was looking for articles. I was like, is this a thing? I mean, it seems like it should be a thing. And apparently in 2016, I believe it was a psychiatrist coined the phrase or coined the term election stress disorder.
So I believe it.
It's
I certainly.
And I know it's not a classified medical condition.
Heard people talk about it.
I mean, this person coined it back then in regard. You know, just they see a dramatic uptick in couples coming in. He dealt with couples therapy and couples coming in.
Yeah, with couples
fighting
especially.
About it. And he talked about it wasn't even. That the two individuals were different parties. They were frequently the same party.
Mm-hmm.
They were just wanted to, but they were bickering with each other about the whole situation in regards to the election and things like that. So you can imagine that amplified from 2016 to now with the COVID issues and things like that happening. So I mean, What can you imagine? I think anything you can imagine related to, a stressful situation is kind of what they define as election stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Like anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Agitation.
Exhaustion.
Irritability.
Mm-hmm.
it's all those things, and it's just amplified by, and I think nowadays it's probably even more so. I mean, obviously he coined the term back in 2016, but short 4 years later, I think it's probably amplified due to our relationship. Yeah, with everything, like you said, in addition to, I think, probably the prevalence of social media or, news being distributed via social media now.
It was in 2016.
True,
too.
But I think it has changed. The way it's been presented now on social media has definitely changed than it was back in 2016. I think it has evolved to be a little bit more. I mean, the algorithms are probably a little bit more less are probably giving people more information that I think is somewhat increasing anxiety. On certain social media platforms, that's what I believe. But I think it's also a perfect storm in regards to the condition of being in a COVID shutdown and being just glued to their devices and or TV and things like that. So, long story short, the anxiety level is just through the roof with this whole situation.
And I think it comes down a lot to expectations too. Mm-hmm. I think. People have already been put through a freaking ringer this year, and everybody's expectations of the election was solutions,
right,
or endings, or they wanted closure. They wanted impactful change immediately, right here, right now. And the thing is, this election, there's nothing that's going to bring that. Like, the immediacy and the expectation of what this election could mean, in a way, I think it's the same sort of downer that's going to be experienced at the end of 2020 as we go into 2021. The expectations people have are very high. Now, granted, there's a lot of different things at play still, but people have also just been worn so thin. So
right.
There's been a lot of, I think, desperation behind it as well.
Right.
And a lot of people who've just been so fed up with the pandemic, with society, with being stuck at home.
Right.
With no understanding of when this is going to end. People wanted, like an ending and a beginning. That's what they wanted. Like, mm-hmm. That's it. And there was no closure.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I think, especially with this, our episode today, what we're trying to do is offer maybe some methods in order to deal with this anxiety. Because, like you said, it could be a while till what individuals think as closure really comes.
Really, yeah.
You know, so we've got to really kind of, now we've got to deal with it. You know, I think we've talked about it throughout the last 9 months about coping with our current situation, and this is just yet another one that we have to cope with. I think all of them, they have some through lines. I think what we would recommend is kind of some stuff that we've already brought up in regards to the holiday immune boosting challenge. You know, exercise, supplementation, minimize sugar and alcohol consumption. Yeah. I think those are some good starting off points, but I think we got to go further than that.
Yeah,
as far as coping with this election stress.
That's a really big reason why I said the challenge served as a sort of lifeline for me this past week, because I already had it in my head that like I wanted to reach these goals. And being goal-oriented, like when I do have goals like that, I tend to do better with sticking to good habits, you know? And I think that also gives you something to hang on to. Mm-hmm. And those morning workouts, getting that little bit of time in the morning to myself, to take things a little bit slower, you know, giving myself the time versus just feeling like I'm rushing through every single second of my day. Mm-hmm. That also was very helpful too. Right. Like, that's why I say like the challenge ended up being a bit of a lifeline this past week. Yeah. But yeah. How do we move forward? We have to look at actual recovery.
Right. So, you know, as we've talked about the importance of recovery, this is no different. So, I think some tips that I've seen online, and I think we've known for, as far as recovery, one of the main things we've always hammered when it comes to recovery is sleep. Mm. You know, you gotta prioritize sleep.
Rest.
Yes, you gotta rest and prioritize sleep. And I think that something that comes with it is possibly, minimizing electronics before bed. I've listened to a lot of experts, and we've had experts on the podcast talk about the importance of, you know, hey, an hour before bed, try to minimize, don't go on your phone, something like that. And I think that's even more important now, not only for all the blue light stuff we've talked about before, but now people want to go to their phone, especially at this time, and look at results, look at what's happening in this state or that state.
Yeah, like the compulsion of like checking your phone for updates. Oh,
I was
guilty
of it last week. I mean, I know on election night I made a purpose. We didn't turn the TV on.
Yeah.
And I, you know, glanced at my phone, you know, one time before bed. Luckily, I didn't do it again. But, you know, I talked to people the next day. They said they were up to 3 o'clock in the morning watching it. You know, and it's like, it's amazing to hear that from people. But that's a real thing, you know, people are missing out on sleep, and sleep is so important. We've talked about it a number of times that you can't do that. You gotta, in order to,
we understand yourself, why you did it this past week, but in terms of recovery, this is your recovery. Now we're talking about, put them down, get your rest, and know that nothing is going to happen overnight that you're not going to be able to wait and find out about in the morning.
Right. Yeah, you need that time to let your body recover mentally and physically. So prioritize it and try to do your best to minimize any of the distractions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the starting off point.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that I saw looking through this, it makes a lot of sense, and I feel like we've kind of it kind of hit home for us, especially this week, is the connection to loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been pretty close. You know, I would say close. Obviously, your parents live here, your mom and your stepdad, so frequently come over here, and then You know, my parents, we do the portal with each week, and they come down here and travel whenever they can. But
talk
even
to
with
friends
that,
regularly,
friends through Marco Polo app, you know, it's like those things. It seems sometimes even your friends, when it comes to this election thing, it sometimes friends can even be at odds with each other.
Oh yeah,
you know, but you always
politics, man.
Exactly, but you gotta. I think you gotta. You break it down to the basic kind of level that you love them, and they're your family and friends for a reason, and you love them, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you don't agree or align with them politically, you still love them, and you've got to carry that compassion and love throughout this event and into the future in order to maintain those relationships, because it's relationships that really help you get through tough events like this.
Yeah, you need that human connection. You need to feel like you can relate to other people. And that makes it difficult when someone you care about, you don't see eye to eye with them. But it is taking that one small moment to not react to their differing opinion with emotion, and to stop and say, they're entitled to their opinion. And if it's something where you know that you guys are not going to see eye to eye and you're just going to bicker, it's even worth just saying, I love you too much to fight over this. Please, can we just not talk about this?
Right.
Like, give yourselves a break. Everybody, you're going to have plenty of time later if you want to get into it. But like, I know in my life who I can and cannot talk about certain things with.
Right.
And there are certain people in my life who I know have such differing outlooks and perspectives on things that it just does not serve our relationship to push those. Like, you know, a polite kind of debate might happen, but I know not to get too invested in that. And
right.
I think they know the same. So, I mean, it's figuring out those things with your loved ones so that you can still have that connection and support. Because you kind of have to weather the storm with them.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, and they'll have your back through when times get tough. Like I said, we had a family situation, you know, this week, and
we
had people
we forgot
that really
about
needed,
politics
yeah,
for an entire day.
We
pretty
had
much.
People that really needed our love and support, and I like to think that we were all there for each other, and it didn't matter what the outcome of the election was going to happen. We were going to be there for each other anyways.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, the outcome of the election didn't matter at that point in time. So. I think that's the huge part of it with this dealing with the election stress is, like you said, connection, human relationships and connection with, you know, your loved ones. I think something that I'm a huge fan of and I think is super important to do, and I think during this time, not even that it's obviously it's election, post-election, but now we're getting into the holidays. It's always a time where to give to the less fortunate, like donate either time or goods or services, volunteering. I think that's a huge part of even keeping that, you know, human connection going, like you talked about. So I think that's a huge part of this that can help you cope with this post-election stress is, you know, volunteer.
Think beyond yourself. Yeah.
Connect with your community, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's some of the biggest changes you can have are right in your own community that you live in.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you want things to go a certain way politically, but it's, you know, and voting is a way to do that. But to have an immediate change, you know, working in your own community, that's something you can do right now, and you can have real change.
Yeah, that's action that you can impact immediately.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I think that's great for psyche because, like we said, you see the actual change.
Feedback, yeah,
you see it. You know, if you're giving somebody food at a food, you know, a soup kitchen, or you're collecting supplies and dropping them off somewhere. You see it immediately, yeah. You know, so that's something I think I like to do every holiday season, but it's something maybe we should all do at all times. You know, if we did more of that, yeah. Maybe the stress and anxiety that associated with things like, I mean, as complex as poverty or homelessness, maybe we'd get a little bit more perspective and appreciate what we have more and be more willing to give to others, yep. That are the less fortunate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think another thing it's somewhat similar, but it's a little bit kind of more focusing on yourself, but to really try and connect with something that brings you joy, like something simple. It could be picking up a book again. Maybe you've gotten so invested in, you know, everything that's going on. Just go back to like that hobby or thing. If it's going and, you know, if it's fishing, go fishing, mm-hmm. You know, find that little thing that will bring you joy, and especially in the coming weeks, like focus on incorporating that into your life.
Right.
I mean, it could be simple. It's as simple as reading a book or drawing.
Yep.
And it could be
decorating your house.
Decorating your house. Yeah. I mean, do things, simple things that bring you joy, because it's, again, it's almost that immediate gratification where you can change your atmosphere in life. Mm-hmm. The truth is, you cannot change the world environment before you change your own. You can't think to make other people and like your community and the world feel great if you still are just this tornado of anger and frustration and stress. Mm-hmm. You're just going to continue to spread that and push that into the world. Change yourself. Bring yourself back to kind of that happy state, that joyful state, especially this time of year. No one wants to go into the holidays feeling like crap.
Right.
And that is proven to also lower your immunity. Mm-hmm. So it goes against our challenge. But yeah, I know that might get a little bit woo-woo for some people, mm-hmm. But really try and focus on changing your sort of state of energy and your overall feeling before you even think about everybody else changing theirs. Yeah. Because you can't expect other people to do that. Just worry about you.
Yep. It's good. I think that's a great point to kind of bring it all together, mm-hmm. You know, and
so I mean, as like a recap, it's, you said get rest.
Yep, prioritize sleep and rest. That's a good way of putting it. Yep.
Make sure you're connecting with your loved ones. Mm-hmm.
Volunteer and donate your time.
Volunteer and donate your time. Do something simple that brings you joy. Focus on your own personal
outlook
and approach. Mm-hmm. Bring that back into a positive place. This is recovery.
Right.
This is election anxiety recovery here. Right.
That's great.
I mean, you may not hear it talked about on TV yet. Yeah. But I'm sure we're going to start hearing about it. Oh, yeah. People are going to start.
The news articles are already coming out.
Feeling it, and it's only going to get worse if you don't stop and do something about it now.
Right. And now you got your toolbox filled with methods in order how to deal with it.
And you can always use the challenge that we gave you for November again as, again, that sort of little like lifeline that just keeps you connected and mm-hmm. moving forward.
There you go. You know, and you know another way to deal with election stress?
What?
Is to get pumped over stuff.
You mean it's time for what's got us pumped?
That's right.
Oh, look at that segue.
Would you like to go first or second?
You can go first.
Okay. So, and I'm glad you let me go first, because mine is somewhat related to the basically our post-election stress recovery methods we suggested. I do this each year, and I know this is kind of, you know, individualized to me, but it does have me pumped. I'm literally very excited about this, is that I just registered for the sixth time. This is the sixth annual ET Tampa food drive, holiday food drive I'm doing for local charity here in Tampa, Florida called Metropolitan Ministries. And they
exist all over, I think.
Possibly. You might be right. But I know only the website that I give out is only for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So metromin.org is the website. But I've been doing this the last six. This will be the sixth year collecting food donations for residents in the Tampa Bay area that are in need of, obviously, food for the holiday season. And now this year more than ever, it's super important because a lot of families are underserved due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So the you know, each year the Metropolitan Ministries tries to project how many families they're going to try to help feed and provide food to. It's around 30,000 every year. And now they've actually promised that they're going to bump it up to 40,000 this year.
Yeah, so, I've read press releases this year from nonprofits that have said that things like food, like simple sort of need-based things, have increased like up to 200% in some areas.
Right. So I'm very pumped that this year I'm going to be doing this through until Christmas Eve. Obviously, primarily a food drive, but they also are collecting toys and medical supplies and baby supplies. So they collect a lot of things. So obviously, metromin.org is the website if you want to donate to this organization. And I chose this organization not only because it's local, but it is verified as a very reputable charity through... Oh, man, I'm going to...
Charity Navigator?
Yeah, it's some... not OnStar, but yes, it's basically a website that verifies the legitimacy of charities. You know, it breaks down their financials to actually show how much they're donating to certain organizations or how much they're using for administration and paying, you know, their staff, which is an important thing, but, you know, it's sometimes there can be some charities that are less on the up and up. So they are very highly rated charities, so that's why I chose them. But I'm saying this to, obviously, everybody who are listening outside this area. You can find a charity in your area in order to donate your time or resources to, and maybe start your own food drive for them, because it would definitely get you pumped like I am.
Yes.
What about you? What got you pumped?
Well, it's connected to what I've done this week, and one of my favorite devices in our house, and that is the Peloton.
Peloton.
The Peloton has a new screen.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. You've been with us for a while. You probably have heard. We've done some references to the Peloton in the past. And we've done a couple reviews. Uh-huh. And going way back, if you actually go to the first review, that was 2014.
Wow.
2014. Our screen on our bike was 6 years old.
Wow.
So, as anybody in technology probably knows, 6 years is ancient in technology, especially when it comes to, basically, it's just a giant mobile pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a smart pad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so think it's a droid, but it's like a giant iPad.
Mm-hmm.
If it was an Apple, it would be an iPad. But it's been great. However, a year ago, they gave me the opportunity to save some money off of getting a new one, and I didn't take them up on it. And our screen got really, really slow, and our ride started not working properly. And I didn't realize how much that really was impacting me until I finally got the new screen. I got it, and I think I installed it within like a half an hour of receiving the box. And then I finally rode with that new screen this week. Oh my gosh, it was so amazing. There was no screen interruptions. There was no ride interruptions. I pressed the screen and the buttons actually worked. It was responsive. There was no like Wi-Fi trouble with it. It was like freaking magic. Makes such a great difference when you have things that actually work. Completely worth it. And I look at it, as I coached someone recently, I said, especially when it comes to your health and well-being, do not look at something as the cost, you know, the one-time cost. Break it down into your cost per use. That is going to tell you whether or not you are going to get your monies out of that. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, we're going to get our money out of it. Like, we've already gotten so much out of the bike. And now actually having a new screen feels like the whole thing is new. It's a great bike anyways. So yeah, that still has me pumped a week later.
Well, that's awesome.
Congrats. So happy.
I'm happy too, because I use it also. So
you get the benefit. Yeah,
that's it. I do get the benefit. So that's awesome. Very
totally
happy.
Worth the 45 minutes I had to spend with
negotiating that discount. That's good work for you. Appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys listening this week, tuning in each week, giving us those rating reviews, telling a friend, sharing the podcast. We appreciate it all. Keep it up and keep coming back each week, and we'll keep giving you the info, the pertinent health and fitness info.
Yes. And don't think that we're going to have political updates for you, because no way. We are in election recovery mode.
That's right.
Boom.
That's it. You got anything else for him tonight?
No.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.